Evangelist Vincent, an anointed man of God who has been called to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God with clarity and to heal the sick and the oppressed.
Hallelujah. So, identity. We all know now about identity, but what happens if a person, because of things that happen in life, has more than one identity? So the identity can be robbed, but the identities that you do have, they are several. That is confusing, but that is the case with many people. And as a minister who ministers inner healing as well as deliverance, I come across a lot of those people. So I want to start with an example of a very clear cut case where somebody has a dissociated identity. So two difficult words. First, we break down dissociate, because dissociate means it is separate from something else. So we have a core personality, a main personality, that what you know yourself by, be it true identity in Christ or be it the one that you have taken on, but there is a core personality, i.e. a core identity. Now, a dissociate identity is another identity that is dissociated, i.e. separated from, totally standalone, separated from the core identity or the core personality. Dissociative identity means that this other identity can operate and function completely independently from your main or core personality. That is not the same as schizophrenia, because schizophrenia is a psychiatric disease or illness of the brain, where things in the brain do not work the way they should work, and therefore when there is a psychosis, there is a part of them that is not in touch with reality at all. For example, a part that would see elephants walking in and out the room all the time, or spacecrafts, or sees people at the door and nobody else can see them because they're not there. So that is dissociated from reality. That is a psychiatric disorder. That is not what this is. So let's make a distinction between an illness and a disorder. Dissociate identity, an identity that can come up, that can rise up, or that can be triggered at any given time, and it will then begin to function independently as if you are a different person, because that is a different identity. So, let me come to this example of a girl, a woman actually, a lady, that I ministered to just a few days ago in another country. The woman described the symptoms as following. She's herself born again. She surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of her sin, received forgiveness, and tried to walk the walk with the Lord. Tried to walk a righteous life in Christ. However, she found that she would attract beyond her ability to resist. She would attract all manner of men. And these were not the men at all that she herself likes. So she would attract man that she doesn't like, man that are rough, and she would not be able to resist. And she described it to me. She said, it is as if something takes over, and I am just not myself, and I'm just lying there, and I don't feel anything. I don't have any emotions with it. It just feels like I'm in the background, but I can't do anything. I can't resist it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody. I'm talking Bible today. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
So, that's a big problem because this girl was taken over by something that she could not control, and she knows that is not what she wants. That's a form of invisible abuse, if you like. Plus, she would then explain that she would do things that she would never otherwise do, and that are not normal. And it would just switch on and off, switch on and off. And she struggled with it tremendously. Hence, she traveled and wanted to do something about this. We go deeper into the story, and she says that she cannot maintain a relationship because the persons that she attracts, they don't even love her. It's something else. And everything breaks down immediately. And she says the number of partners that she had is not right. She said it's not me. It doesn't make sense, and I don't want it. Now we're talking about dissociative identity today. Dissociative identity today, and not demonology. I will bring some of the demonology into this, but I want people to have an understanding that there is a distinction between an evil spirit and dissociative identity, as well as what I earlier explained, psychosis or schizophrenia, where you are disconnected from reality. So if somebody begins to talk about things that nobody else can see, that are definitely not real. I went in a spaceship yesterday, I went to the moon, and they operated on me, and I came back, and ever since I see somebody, there's somebody knocking at my door all the time, I'm so afraid. Then you are not in reality, you're disconnected from the reality. Then there is a psychiatric problem. But this example in this lady is obviously another identity. It's a person, it's all in reality, and something is going on. She doesn't know what it is. She feels she's being rejected all the time. She can't get anything done. And on top of that, she says, I am exhausted. She says, I'm in my late 20s, I'm healthy, I don't have an illness as far as anything, but I'm exhausted. After 8 hours of work in an office, I am exhausted. I basically need to sleep until the morning and have energy again for the next day. They told me, okay, this is the brain getting overworked, the brain processing too much information because there are more than one identity. And all those identities are hardwired into the brain, and the brain is designed to cope with one identity, and that's supposed to be the identity that you have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody this morning.
Amen.
But if you have more than one, and if you have maybe two, three, then you can imagine that the processing of all this information, the switching to and fro, is exhausting on the brain. And those people are normally very, very tired, more tired than they should be. I begin to minister, and I begin to get a little bit more information. Now, coming to my second important point, dissociate or dissociated identity. The former psychological term used to be multiple personality disorder. So it's psychology, not psychiatry. I'm teaching you something today. And in psychology, at first we called it multiple personality disorder because we were used to use the term personality and personality alters. Later on, it developed into dissociate, a more, as knowledge increased in this disorder, in this disability, if you'd like, in this phenomena, it became the term dissociate identity. And here is why. And it's called a disorder because it limits your ability. It hinders you. It's frustrating, but Let me start off with the second point I want to make, and then I will show you why it's actually initially a protection mechanism from God. So when she was in her early teens, so like 13, 14, 15, things were starting to go wrong in this, in at that time, the little girl's life. And she would just break down and not be herself, and her parents began to notice there is something wrong here. And she went to see a psychologist, counselor, psychologist, and because her behavior wasn't normal, and they all knew there was something not right here. Would just cry for no reason in the night, would be very fearful, would be very much just switch off from the rest and just sit alone. All those kind of symptoms. And as this counselor psychologist begins to do a digging of what happened in the past, all of a sudden, afterwards, after the counselor psychologist has been trying to open the memory, has been trying to bring about an event or something that may have traumatized her as a child, exactly what happens, by God's grace, the identity that was formed at a traumatic event, which is that dissociated identity, got triggered because of the counseling and the psychology trying to find out what is going on. Afterwards, she began to have flashbacks, because all of a sudden, this dissociated identity, this other personality, this dissociated part of her that was inside of her, that was created by trauma, was all of a sudden given an attention, and therefore it began to share with the rest of the personality, with the core information. Because dissociated identity, it is created as a God-given mechanism in the human brain, in the human soul, that when there is a trauma that is so horrific that the memory thereof would cause you to go insane and would cause your life to basically stop, or your brain to stop, your love of life to disappear. If the trauma is that severe that the memory thereof would cause you to go insane, or would cause you to completely break down. At that moment of trauma, the soul splits. Jesus calls it the broken heart. The heart breaks. He's not talking about the literal heart in your King James Version of the Bible in Luke 4, verse 18. He is sent to heal the brokenhearted. He's not talking about a broken heart because of a relationship breaking down, a boyfriend leaving a girlfriend, or a girlfriend leaving a boyfriend. He's talking about a broken soul. Am I teaching somebody this morning? Now, that soul breaks, and this is a psychological fact, this is a medical fact, the soul splits, and a dissociate identity is born of God to protect the person from going insane. So now, through the counselor, psychology, attention was given to the traumatized identity that was split off. Now, the job of the dissociative identity is to retain the memory of the trauma so that we or you can move on with life. That is why at the age of 15, this girl, then being 15, had no memory of what had happened to her. It was a mystery. Her life was a mess. Her parents were concerned. Now, there is some talking, some counseling, some deep questions, some waking up of the soul. And all of a sudden, she gets flashbacks to the finest details. The dissociate identity would just come up, and she would literally relive a severe trauma, and she would know every detail, the voices, the colors, any names written, photographic memory, like a video. It's right there, imprinted in that identity. Now she knows what's going on. Now she knows what's happened, but she's still not healed. She's still not restored. In fact, she's now more worried, but at least it led her, she found the Lord. The Lord found her several years later, but she was struggling. Now my job was to talk to this dissociate identity, not the demon that came later, but the dissociate identity that was formed, that was born of God, to retain the memory of the trauma, to retain the emotions connected to the trauma, because it was a severe trauma. I'm not mentioning a name, so I can mention the trauma, what actually took place. At the age of 6, she went out of her house and she saw a horse and carriage, and it was all done with colors and bells and child attracting things. So it looked like a big circus type of interesting children's entertainment thing. As soon as she approaches the horse and carriage on her own, just wandered off for a minute, she gets pulled into this carriage. The carriage gets closed, and she is brutally raped by 2 men at the age of 6. I have to share this in the house of God, because it happens. May I refer to Luke 17 verse 2, where Jesus said, "I cannot help it, but offenses will happen." I'm teaching to the entire world here. I'm teaching to everybody, because I care about people's soul because of Christ living in me. I know that these things are real, and I know that people are struggling, and some people have had traumas that are locked up inside of a dissociate identity inside their soul with the memory and the emotions, and they don't know what happens until somebody under the leading of the Holy Spirit would bring about inner healing and healing of the brokenhearted. Amen. Of course, all the doors to the demonic realm opened at that time. But you can now imagine why the trauma, the memory, was completely locked up, dissociated from her core personality. She did never know what happened. But you'll say, well, that is the grace of God, and we thank the Lord for that. Because often people say, well, where was God? Where was God? Can I speak for somebody? Where was God when it happened? What kind of God do you serve if God allows that to happen? I say to you, God was right there when it happened, because He created your soul in a way that he can split your soul, and He can born an identity of God to keep the memory, to keep the emotion, so you don't go insane. Hallelujah. And those people get to know the Lord. They find the Lord later on. But it is a temporary solution. It is not to be locked up forever. Well, why? Why stir it up? I ain't stirring anything up. Ministers of the gospel don't stir anything up but the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Can I preach in this house this morning?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will stir up, whether minister is there or whether not minister is there, that identity, because it needs to be healed, because the Bible declares, hallelujah, somebody this morning, that he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to get excited about this message today. Praise God. Because this is what's not normally taught, but there is a desire for this kind of knowledge, because without knowledge we perish. And I'm doing it with the help of this example. So it cannot stay buried. It cannot stay dissociated forever. Why? Because her now troubled life, the root of the trouble is in the dissociated identity. How is this split identity? What are the emotions in this identity? Hatred for man. Disrespect for man. Fear. Fear to the core. Fear of man. Not feeling clean. Feeling abused. Feeling rejected, feeling no good for nothing. All those negative emotions are also blocked up, locked up in this identity. And God came to heal the brokenhearted. Can I say it another time? Isaiah, in fact, prophesied that. As I said in the last episode, and it was in Isaiah 61 verse 1. And then Jesus repeated it, the prophecy had come to pass, and he said, this day this has come to pass. And that's when he read Isaiah 61:1. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise God. The Lord even opened my Bible in Isaiah. So let that work in just for a moment, because that's very important to understand, that the negative, ungodly, if you'd like, or opposing the word of God emotions. Fear opposes the word of God. We're supposed to live by faith. Hatred opposes the word of God. We're supposed to love. So those are opposing the word of God emotions. Guess who uses that against the person? That's right, Satan. Satan uses the ungodly emotions of anger, hatred, abuse, rejection in a fallen world where bad things happen to good people. Hence, we got to be saved out of this world. Hallelujah, somebody. Born again. I'm talking to some born again folk. Hallelujah. Satan uses those ungodly, opposing the word of God, negative emotions as legal rights to attach his demons to that person and to begin to torment the life of that person. That's why there needs to be healing before there can be deliverance. Praise God, somebody. That's why God is a God of order, and that's why in the divine order, Isaiah prophesied exactly in that order, preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, and preach deliverance to the captives, and then you go and set them free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And an identity has been created that is, of course, one in trauma, that is one in despair, that is one in fear, that is one that has a pathology, an upside-down psychology, because it is now having everything turned upside down. This person will that identity, when that identity comes up, and that is exactly what happens with people that have dissociate identities, 1, 2, 3, some have 100. I've ministered to people that had several hundred identities. And by the grace of God, they were in Christ, but you know, they obviously were very, very tired. But they got healed, praise God. Because God is great. And that which is born of God has to go back to God. Hallelujah. If I may say something to any dissociate identity that is listening right now, Jesus made you and Jesus will help you. Just begin to open up to the Lord. And and you will find rest. So, now we begin to unrattle, to unveil the root of the problems of this particular lady. The rejection going on in her life, attracting totally the wrong kind of person that she doesn't even like, being abused in a way where she is not even present fully mentally, and then regrets it afterwards but has no control over it. Terrible situation. And tired, always exhausted. Now, when it came down to bringing this particular identity up, the identity was indeed full of fear, full of pain, agony, and it was under the leading of the Holy Spirit, bringing healing, ministering healing, allowing the anointing to flow like a river, allowing the love of God to flow from heaven, and bring healing, deep healing. Renouncing all those negative things. And the Lord took that traumatized identity that was still inside that carriage home to where the Lord is. The Lord came in the carriage, in the supernatural, and the Lord took the child, the six-year-old, and took the child home. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's important to understand that, because it's not a person, it's a personality. It is not a soul, it's an identity imprint. It is an identity created by God to protect her. But unfortunately, in an upside, in an evil world, in a fallen world, the devil uses that, what God means for good, against us. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, there was another identity that was created alongside. For, of course, there was Jezebel. Of course, Jezebel comes in when there is abuse. The evil spirit of Jezebel, who has no interest in intimacy whatsoever, but would love to use its victims as meat and to be abused. Jezebel herself, the demon, has no interest. It's not a spirit of lust. It's not a spirit of perversion. Jezebel is a destroyer. Jezebel wants to destroy the life. And Jezebel was there. But an alter identity, another identity was there. An identity had been created in her soul, thinking she deserves to be treated bad by men. This is the normal way. See the pathology. This is the normal way. I need to be abused. I need to be roughed up. I need to suffer. I need to be rejected. And it was a human part. It was an identity in her that would come up. Not the six-year-old, because that was too much in trauma. But another one who thought this is normal. This is how it's supposed to happen. This is how it's supposed to go. And that's why she couldn't resist it. She could pray until kingdom come. She could fast for days. She could do everything. She could call upon the Lord. But when that other identity would just rise up, she herself was disconnected. The born again Christian was disconnected. And all of a sudden, things went different. Now, often it's the identity. May I speak some more on the subject? Shout an amen every so often. Amen. It's often the identity who doesn't know the Lord. Even though they are created by the Lord, deep down in their core they know, but they don't have that relationship. Some of them do. If the person has been walking long enough with the Lord, they all begin to love the Lord. But it depends on what level and what time you come in as a minister. And some of them, most of the identities, the associated parts, they do not know the Lord. And that's where the struggle is. Hey, one time I feel like You know, I know that me, the main me or the core identity of me, I love the Lord, I'm born again, I speak in tongues and I do all this and that and the other for the Lord. But there is times where I just switch, that could be the story of a person. And I don't even feel like I love the Lord. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel I have no relationship. There is another identity there that doesn't know the Lord, that is not born again. This is not a salvation issue. This is a healing issue. A person is saved when the core identity has given his life to the Lord. It is not, I don't want you to misunderstand me that every identity now must get saved and born again. That's not what I'm saying. I wanted you to understand that. So, now another truth comes about. This identity, as he told me earlier on, and then confessed, this part of a body, from her upper legs to her mid section there, say to the navel kind of thing, she would not feel that part of a body. This is a woman in her late 20s, cannot feel. So she could scratch. For example, begin at the knee, scratch, she could feel the scratch, and all of a sudden, she won't feel. Carry on with a deep nail scratch, she won't feel it. She could inflict pain in this particular midsection of the body and not feel it. It was locked up by that dissociate identity that caused. It was Jezebel attracting all the wrong men, and then that identity would come up, and that identity had locked this up because that identity wanted to be abused. It felt it was the right thing because she didn't deserve anything. She was no good for nothing, and that's how she needed to be treated. It's a pathology. Praise God. When that identity was addressed, it began to weep. When that dissociate identity that caused all this extra abuse and being roughed up by men and being used as a loose woman and being taken advantage of all the time, and then being rejected again and again and again, when that identity dissociated was addressed in prayer, in ministry, in deep inner healing Holy Ghost ministry, it began to weep. And as I ministered under the Holy Ghost, that identity was restored. The pathology was addressed and the truth was given. And the identity just melted and began to surrender, began to surrender to the Lord, and began to surrender all the negative emotions and to break the curses. And there the Lord came and took that one home. Hallelujah. We can now begin to understand why this woman was so incredibly tired all the time. Now it was time to address Jezebel. Now Jezebel had nothing there again. And as soon as Jezebel was arrested by the Holy Ghost, the judgment of God came on Jezebel and Jezebel left. Hallelujah. She was set free from all evil spirits because she was healed by Jesus Christ. She was restored to the identity, even though her core identity was now lined up and could now be lined up with the will of the Father and the heart of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It was amazing. The beaming glory radiated from her face as soon as the final part of the ministry was done. She was just smiling, full of joy. As soon as she leaves and travels back, she sends a message that she looks at the world completely different now. She had never seen the world like this. She feels like a total different person. She comes home, she sends another message of joy. See, next day she goes to work. She sends another picture from her workplace. After 8 hours of work, she says, normally by this time I'm totally exhausted. She says, I am full of energy. I've never felt better in my life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it just carried on and on and on. And soon, she's even going to come and testify right here. Because she already decided to do that, to give God glory. Hallelujah. She'll travel over from the other place and come down here and testify of God's goodness. Whatsoever has happened in somebody's life, there comes a day. And we saw it last week after I was ministering by the Holy Ghost and had exhorted on identity itself. The dissociated identities by four of you very evidently came straight up and were healed. Praise God. Because God wants you to be restored. Now we understand identity and having our identity stolen, suffering identity theft, having our identity distorted. And that what our identity, it needs to be solely rooted in the Lord. Hallelujah. And now we understand dissociative identity, and that often the two go hand in hand. Many people will not realize or accept that they can have identity disorder, that they can have dissociate identities. Because when you grow up with something, or when you have something for, especially since childhood or early teens, you get so used to having 1, 2, 3 identities that you don't realize you have it. Until other people begin to make comments about your behavior, about your character, or when you begin to realize, hey, there are some things that are holding me back. What happened to you? Who did what to you when? The answer is inside of your soul. And God is the one who reveals all secrets to those that pray. Hallelujah. And of course, rejection is the big one that will cause all manner of dissociation and abuse. And there are many more examples. I'll just very quickly, I think I'll just hear it right now in the spirit from you to remind you of another person whom we ministered to and born again of the Spirit, going to church, loving the Lord, yet had a cannabis, weed, ganja addiction that she could not get over. Couldn't get over it. Didn't know how can it be? How can it be? Because a part of her, oh praise God, somebody's going to get a revelation now. See, her core identity that got born again, that began to understand who she is in Christ Jesus. Somebody praise God in this house this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. That core identity began to realize that, hold on a minute. Behold, all things have become new. All things have passed away. That part of her was at peace with the Lord. But there was another part of her. There was a dissociated identity that was caused by a gang shootout in the city where she lived on the birthday of her best friend. A male friend, not her boyfriend, just a male friend, and they all gathered together. Another Christian, it was a normal lad, it was not a gang member at all. He was 18, he turned 18 that day. And they were all sunny day outside. But there was a gang war going on, and the other gang lost one of their gang members, and they decided to retaliate. Not against the gang who did it, because they don't know who did it. So they decided to retaliate against that people group as long as somebody dies they would have their revenge. Unfortunately, this young man turned 18, had to pay the price. They shot him dead. C was sitting in a car that day, but he was not in the car. He was just leaning over the car, talking to them. Other people gathered around. C said that the car was full of bullet holes. It was like, I can't remember how many, I think she said it was about 30 people turned up with fire weapons and began to open fire. She said it was even a miracle that she didn't die or that nobody else died. Guess what? Guess what? Trauma. The girl in the car split. To deal with this, see her good friend die, being in a war zone, fearing death, bullets flying around everywhere. Major trauma. She split. Her soul split. And dissociate identity came about. And that was still in the car. That was still in the stress, in the fear of death. That one could only be calmed down by smoking marijuana or weed or whatever other name it is. It was addicted because it couldn't cope with the emotional baggage. And that's why this girl could not get over the addiction. No matter what she did, she couldn't get over it. She needed healing. Through ministry, she received healing. The Lord came to the car in the supernatural, took the child out of the car. She was 18 at the time as well, or 19. She was 19 at the time. By the time we ministered to her, she was like 23, 24. Now that part was given peace. Now that part was restored. Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted. She's been free ever since. Fulfilling her destiny in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. I'm going to close with this now. I won't be long now. I'm closing now. I think now there is a better understanding of dissociative identity disorder, or MPD, multiple personality disorder. I think there is an understanding between the clear distinction of psychiatric illnesses like schizophrenia, schizophrenia paranoia. Paranoia or schizophrenia paranoia is an unrealistic fear. Fear of aliens, fear of spaceships, fear of things that are definitely not real. Fear of somebody at the door who's not there, who doesn't even live there. Who doesn't even live at all. That is a psychiatric disorder. Dissociative identity are real traumas that happen in real life. And Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of our soul, promises restoration for our whole soul. When we carry all those things in us, or emotions that are carried by dissociated identities, the fruit thereof can be rebellion. Like part of that girl that I earlier on used her example, part of her was rebellious. Part of her would not at all act like a church girl, like a Christian born-again girl at all. In fact, on those occasions, you would never even believe that she's the same girl that goes to church on Sundays, born again, praises the Lord. She was blocked in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. She was not speaking in tongues. We pray that by the time she comes and testifies, she will be praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. Because that dissociated identity and the traumas and the emotions thereof can cause the block of God moving further in your life. Some of you have seen that right here in this church. If you have been rejected, and this is on my final note, I want to encourage you to not reject others because you have been rejected. I want you to guard yourself that you will not be like others. I want to read this to you. How is your heart? This is a prophetic word from the Lord. How is your heart? How is your heart towards the person that rejected you? How is your heart towards them, or towards him, towards her? Do you love them as I commanded you? Because that will pull the stronghold down. There's got to be forgiveness. There's got to be forgiveness. How is your heart? Jesus' greatest commandment. Love one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. He has commanded us to love those that hate us, to love those that reject us. That's true forgiveness. Forgiving that person who has rejected is a vital step in the healing process. It starts with that. Hallelujah. God is awesome. But let in all this, remember the greatest commandment the Lord gave us. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and soul. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. By these two commandments, the entire law is established. Those are the words of the living Christ. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for giving us an understanding and for giving us knowledge to examine ourselves, to pray, to help others, to begin to understand why certain things are the way they are. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, to you be glory right now. May you even now, by your Holy Spirit, allow your love and anointing to touch each and every dissociated identity that has been listening to this message, as well as the core identity. Let, by reason of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, every yoke break, so that the love of God can reach every broken, traumatized identity in us. Every frightened identity. Even those identities that don't think they deserve even to be healed. You do deserve to be healed. Hallelujah. And on a final note, let the Holy Spirit bring the word deep down into everybody's soul. It was not your fault. You're blaming yourself, but it wasn't your fault. And the Lord comes to heal you too. Hallelujah. Father, just have your way right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And I pray you come on board with me and my team to win the lost. Together, fulfilling the Great Commission, winning souls. Keep me and my teams in the harvest fields around the world. Through our outreaches, crusades, conferences, ministry and leadership training, and the planting of block-bought churches, together we are reaching multiplied millions of souls. And that is what it is all about for the Lord Jesus Christ. All sermons, Bible studies are always uploaded on the internet. And standing firm against apostasy, false teachings, boldly exposing it, contending for the faith. So I ask you to come on board. Visit our website. Because you can give singular or you can give monthly. No gift is too small. Even £5, dollars or euros a month goes a very long way, and it helps a lot. The Lord bless you for your support.